Let me get this weather together real quick.
Ow, it's 57 degrees in Mary Jane Falls, Nevada?
That's right.
And then I heard it was going to be 56 degrees in Stoner, Colorado.
That's right.
But my favorite is when it's nice, hot, and misty outside, 84 degrees in Blunt, South Dakota.
Oh, right.
Sliding on down to this area right here, above the average highs, 70 degrees in Roach, Missouri. You understand me? We stay lucky in Kentucky. It's going to be 60 as we blaze in Blaze, Kentucky. You dig?
Hell yeah.
And over here, we got Pottsville, Pennsylvania, where it will be 60 degrees. And down low on the go, 61 degrees at High Point. Get that, High Point, North Carolina.
That's what's going on around the country, Snoop's country. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Come on now.
You're listening to the Dr. Abrasive Show.
Welcome to the show, my good people. This is your boy Tony, the Dr. Abrasive Show, coming to you on a super Friday morning, coming into the last half of October. I'm sitting here just chilling, trying to be my most efficient self. You know, I got probably maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours before I got to be at work. So I'm going to try to come in, put together a show for y'all real quick. Not real quick, just put together some content. Drop this onto the feed so you can have something to listen to and you know, think about. Put that in your ear, nigga. But this is Dr. Richard. You find this on most podcast readers. You can use that podcast reader to share it out to people that you fuck with. Remind them about who's running the show. And also, you can leave feedback. You know, hit us up. Talk about some things. You know, discuss some things. Feedback at drrachel.com is an email. Voicemail line is 662-855-1223. And the socials are all Dr. Abrasive. Just about everything. I think only they don't have is Threads. Fuck. I think they got Spiel right now. I don't even use this shit. I'll just be getting alerts from that motherfucker. But yeah, you know. Shoot some messages. Shoot some feedback. Go ahead. Do that. I guess I should use this moment to shout out Brother Skiro because over Brother Skiro. And we're giving away a Cloud Bro Cigar Disaster Pack, a Red Cup Theory t-shirt, and a custom cigar pick from Soul Puffin Sexy, and a bottle of wine from Radon Soleil Wines. All right, the contact information on how you can do this, you're going to follow all four of these rules. So in the following, you need to go follow the Brother Skiro page, Cloud, Bro Cigars 21, So Puffing Sexy, Radon Soleil Wines, and Red Cup Theory. Repost a reel in the story, and a reel on each one of their pages about this contest. Tag 5 people in the comments. And then you must be 21 years older. Win. So hey, go on over and win you some good stuff. Go on over and win you some good stuff. Yeah. Alright, let's get to the theme. So I'm gonna jump down into it. Wait a minute, did I do that first? Hold on a second. I don't know if I did this first yet. No, I did. All right. First, I was gonna back my way into Travis Kelce and my way into doing the same thing with some of my favorites. So this week we had Dina Asher Smith posting her Lego post about how she likes to rewind in the off season, fucking with these Legos. And I don't give a fuck about the Legos, man. I'm here to look at Dina. Mm-hmm. And she's been posting a lot more frequently than she normally does. Normally, you probably get maybe like 1-2 Instagram posts in a month. Nah, man, she done pulled up a couple of them this week. Man, she got a little recap when she got back home to Great Britain because she's been over in training. She's been over in Texas training and you know, living it up over here for a while, but she's back home. She got on this little champagne dress. No, but it's not champagne. That's red. And that's something bit sparkling. We'll take it. I'm here for it. It's one shot, though. Oh, that's it. So she had this one close-up. Man, got the profile, like the headshot, turned to the side. That's the one. That's the winner right there. That's the winner for the week. That's the winner for the week. I should reshare that so y'all can see what I'm talking about, I guess. But yeah, Dean Ashley Smith on Instagram. Go follow. All right, moving on over to the NFL segment of the show, and the sports topics. Boom. I don't know why I put the scoreboard up for last week. I'm going to talk about those games. Let's get into, first off, the disrespect. The disrespect was, I don't know if y'all remember last year, there was controversy at the end of the Lions-Cowboy game as to whether or not a player checked in and was illegal, blah, 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 blah. Ended up costing the Lions a game in the long run. So apparently the motherfucker said, not this year. They came out, number one, checked this nigga in early in the game. They made sure they weren't even using this nigga in that regard. They went ahead and checked this nigga in, this lineman in, as an eligible receiver early in the game. But later in the game, these motherfuckers ran a hook and lateral to a goddamn lineman. There's a bunch of other bullshit during the course of this game. But either way, the petty-ass Lions decided that they didn't want to make it a motherfucking controversy down the end. So they went ahead and did all they had to do to pour it on the Cowboys. Now, me, being a 49er fan, knowing two things. Number one, the Lions had an epic meltdown. I ain't gonna say the 49ers did this great comeback. No, the Lions had an epic meltdown in the playoff game, in the championship game against the Niners. That's one. Two, they play each other like the next to the last week of the season. And I want to say it's going to be in Detroit. I can say that. I don't have to want to say nothing. I can go look it up right now. Either way, not excited. Not excited at all about what that might mean for San Francisco. Especially when you talk about so late in the season where it could mean a playoff game. This game right here with the Cowboys, that don't mean nothing. The 49ers game, oh, it's in San Francisco. Oh, shit. Same thing with Dallas. The Dallas game was in Dallas again after being the scene of the crime for last season. So, yeah, back in San Francisco, scene of the crime. In a game that can decide probably either playoff standing or, shit, when San Francisco case making the playoffs at all. And they still going to have to play because if the Vikings are still making a deep run into the playoffs, I mean, making this run that they're on, even if they, you know, stumble here, there, and the other. The Vikings still a team to beat. Bruh. Detroit is going to have to do something. They might not be able to take their foot off the gas. And yeah, man. San Francisco is in that one of those positions where they got a division that they can win the division while not doing a lot. Yeah, go out and get their ass kicked. Not excited about that. Not excited at all. That shit going to suck. Speaking of some shit that sucks, Devontae Adams over here, motherfucker, been potting all season. He wasn't happy in Vegas. Tell me when you've heard this story before. Previously, hot receiver goes to Vegas. I mean, goes to the Raiders. Now he's not happy, ready to get up out of there. How many times did it happen? I don't know what it is about Vegas and the receivers. I mean, the Raiders and receivers, but it seems like they don't like to make motherfuckers excited about contemplating it. I mean, I guess Jerry counts. I mean, but he was old by then. Either way, Devontae got traded, and he gone to play with Aaron Rodgers in New York. Tell me when you heard this before. Aaron Rodgers get his away, and his team sucks. Oh, man. That team's so goddamn sorry. Oh, shit, I just realized Sean Payton played his old team last night. He beat the Braves off there. Oh, we'll get that. That's what I'm moving to now. Well, yeah, Devontae. Saw Amari Cooper got traded too. He be in Buffalo as well. So, speaking of another Raider receiver who wasn't happy being there and was ready to get the fuck up. God damn. What is going on with the Raiders and receivers? You know what? I need to hit Cam up. He can explain it to me. As the Raider fan that he is, I know he know. Trying to figure out when the last time somebody wanted to go there, played there, and was excited about being there, and then leave on the motherfucking, on the fuck you bus. Damn. Try to be efficient, y'all. Try to be efficient. Oh, still making good time. Still making good fucking time. All right. This week, like I said, I just mentioned that the Broncos beat the Saints last night on Thursday Night Football. And get the right week up, I can go through the games. Beat them 33-10 in New Orleans. This Sunday, let's see. We got the Jags and the Patriots in London. Oh, man. The Jags in London again? 2 weeks in a row? I guess it's just staying over there, huh? Was this a home game? Wait, what was last week then? I know these niggas didn't give up two home games. What was last week game? Oh, okay. It was a home game for the Bears. Okay. I was about to say, God damn. That's whack. All right, let's see here. Pats and Jags, both teams are 1-5. I'm going to go out and make a super pick and say this game is in the tie. But no, give it to the Jags. Seahawks and the Falcons kick off the 12 o'clock game, the Battle of the Birds. We're going to have the – let's see. I don't know how I'm going to go with this. The Geno – Terry team around. See, I've been quiet out there. They're 3-3. Falcons 4-2. Let's see. Looks like the Falcons are favored in this game. Man, I'm going with underdog. Go Seahawks. All right, let's look at this. Bills and the Titans. Bills. The Titans looking terrible out there. Then we got the Bengals and the Browns. Bengals and Browns. That's a tailgate pick. Oh, Bengals. Let's go. Texas visiting the Packers. Okay. Jordan Love, CJ Stroud. I'm going to give it to Stroud though on the road. Here you go. Dolphins versus the Colts in Indy. Oh, what is Dolphins playing for? They're just playing to be playing. Colts 3-3, Dolphins 2-3. Colts lose, they go under 500. The Dolphins win, they pull even. Let's say that's what the scenario is going to be when Dolphins go in and get that win over the Colts. Sorry, Flacco. What's that? Maybe back though. Anthony Richardson may be back because he was dressed last week. He just didn't play. Falcons and the Viking. I'm not sure. The Lions and the Viking. Oh, my God. This is going to be a barn burner. Game of the week so far. Can the Vikings stay undefeated? No. Lions going to give them their first loss. Eagles and Giants. Saquon goes into the Meadowlands and gets his revenge on his former team, but he doesn't really put up many points or any real big stats. He just have a Saquon game. He might come out. Hit a big run early in the game and then end up with about like 67 yards rushing. Maybe a touchdown. A.J. Brown going to go out there. He's going to be A.J. Browning. Eagles win. Talk about them Raiders. Not had to make receivers happy. Going against the Rams who seem to love to make their receivers happy. I'm going to get this game to the Rams. Okay. So you got CBS game at 3:05. Panthers Commanders. Commanders get back on the win. Winning track there. Chiefs Niners. Chiefs. Come on, man. I mean, the Niners need this win. They're 3-3 right now. They're really sticking it up right now. They really do. It's in San Fran, but I don't see them getting this win. What? We only got – oh, we only got 3 3 o'clock games. Okay. Yeah, that game is probably going to be on TV. Jets and Steelers. The fighting Mike Tomlins will pull it on out. The Jets will still be looking terrible. People will be on TV Monday talking about what do the Jets need to do to turn this season around. And I'm going to keep saying nothing because they fucking suck. It is what it is. And nothing against the team. It's just that this team has been built around Aaron Rodgers. That's it. Formula period. You build a team around a player, that player got to show up. If that player's not motherfucking superstar and ain't just blowing the doors off, then your team is going to suck. It's built around him. Offense, defense, whatever. They spent their money to go get him. They gave him what he wanted to. This is disposal. They got rid of the coach. That was, you know, he seemingly was unhappy. Whatever. Ravens and the Buccaneers, two defensive-minded Super Bowl champ, past Super Bowl champs, coming into this new era. We got Baker Mayfield versus Baker Mayfield versus Lamar Jackson. Lamar getting the win, coming in. Let's go, Lamar. Let's see here. Got the Chargers and the Cardinals. Also on Monday night, so two Monday night games, Chargers and Cardinals. Chargers been quietly winning games. Cardinals just been steady. But for my agenda to keep 49ers in a little quiet first place run for their division, Chargers take this win. Chargers take this win. All right, and moving on to college football. So let's talk about last week. We had some big games that I talked about. Some of the big games that came out of the gate. Texas OU wasn't as big as the expert predicted. It definitely wasn't as big as I thought it was going to be, but it was impactful, so to speak. But Texas beat the doze off Oklahoma, 34-3. Oklahoma came out, scored up 3 points first, gave up 34 straight points by the end of the game. That was whack. Whack as shit, man. Got their ass whooped. 4-2 Oklahoma. All right, and then Oregon and Ohio State proved to be the better of the two games that I talked about last week. Where we go out there and we see Oklahoma try, not Oklahoma, damn it, these teams with the O's. We saw Ohio State try to go out there, try to make a late game push, try to win this game. They came in the game as the number two team. Oregon is number three. They're falling 32-31. And people were talking about how that, you know, what are they going to end up in the post? I'm like, oh, you came in the game at number two. You lost to number three team by one fucking point. You're not supposed to slide that far. I mean, you know, it is what it is. All right, so coming into this week, the top 12 teams I got here, I don't know why I don't have the little fucking image of my little playoff bracket, but whatever. Oh, I do have it somewhere. I got it somewhere. I put it somewhere, nigga. Oh, I know where I got it. I feel so terrible. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm doing this live. And all right, here we go. All right, so as I have the polls shaking out, or my team shaking out right now, top 12 for what would be the top 12 teams in the playoff, I got the 12-5 matchup being UL Monroe and the Boise State Broncos. You know, got a slid in one of those Sun Belt Conference teams, but I got a feeling that just by looking at the way some games happened early this week, these motherfuckers about to eliminate themselves from this whole discussion. At 11-6 matchup, got Iowa State versus Notre Dame. At 10-7, Oregon versus Army. And at 9-8, I got Texas A&M versus Clemson. Yeah, I know my shit doesn't seem to reflect the way that things are already shaped up. But I don't give a shit. Got the buys going to Texas at 4, Washington State at 3, Indiana at 2, and BYU at number 1. I got it. till some teams play and show up a little bit more. Yeah, things have changed. But we got some games coming up this week that have influenced this ranking. And after they these results, make some changes for next week. First out the gate, we got Georgia rolling in to take on Texas in Austin. That game kicks off at 6:30 Eastern time on Saturday. Texas keeps holding true. They should go ahead and dispatch Georgia. Go ahead and pretty much eliminate them from any discussion of being in this playoff. But then again, at the same time, they should still have an opportunity to fight back in here if we start pushing in two lost teams. But right now, there are no two lost teams around here. You get two losses, you got to get the fuck up out of here. Also, talk about teams that might get the fuck up out of here with two losses. Nebraska is going to be going on the road to take on Indiana. And it's an early game, so we'll know about this real quick. When Nebraska-Indiana kicks off at 11 a.m. So the first game coming out the gate. We got the fake Patrick Mahomes going up against the Hoosiers. I don't see the line of stand. What's this? Yeah. Got Indiana pick to win this game. Huh. That's amazing. 5 points. Okay. Do that information as you wish if you are better out there. All right. Let's slide on down to the big part of this show. She good. Sabrina Ionescu hits the game-winning three-pointer against the Lynx to pull the Liberty to 2-1 in the series. So she hit that bitch from damn near 40 and didn't really think about it. Just pull back, pop that bitch in the air, and next thing you know, ball game. Yeah, shout out to her. Shout out to her on that one. And here's the other thing, too. It wasn't like she just was balling out the whole game, either. I forgot about that part. She wasn't balling out the whole game. It was Stewie. Stewie was out there doing the work. But at the end of the game with, you know, time expiring, 28 feet. It seemed like it was down to 40. If you watch it, she wasn't. It was like she was in another gym when she shot that bit. But it's just 28. Knock that bit down. Shout out to Ionescu. All right, let's slide on to entertainment this week. As far as what's been catching on TV show, I'm going to have the TV. Got some still on that Agatha All Along. I think I'm just going to recap all of it at the end, man. It's really not important. Mainly because so much goes on, they had to watch the show and then go back and watch it again and have a little discussion about some shit that I seen. Then I might watch a recap video, then go back and watch some shit again. Like, they missed this part. So with that, I'm not saying that it's just a good. It's just that I know how they like to bury Easter eggs in these shows. And that's like usually what I'm watching for. I'm watching it for what's going on first for the surface level shit in the beginning. Then go catch the Easter eggs on the back end. And then think about what are the implications they're trying to give us down the road. Because again, some of these things are going to impact something. And it might not impact that particular show at that time. It might get time. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so that's how that works. But if Matt Sanger back, you know, you want to go see your favorite celebs put on some dumb shit. I think I talked about Elway was on that. Got his sit down singing on. I have to watch the new show. So I don't even know who, because I think about to introduce a whole new group. Oh, Kiwi. Damn, I said this first thing in the morning. I'm yawning like a motherfucker. Man, so the show, though, that I'm going to have to introduce for, they be acting. And it's the kids in the show Reasonable Doubt. Now, I just realized something. they kind of do some low-key lazy writing with these kids. Because I swear to God, it seems like all these kids go to the same school. Or you forget that these kids are existing in the storyline until they fucking red herring their ass up in this motherfucking end to push the plot along. So the last two episodes dropped. The last episode dropped last night. It was called Encore. So they got to set up season 3. We got to wrap up the story here. Without kind of dropping the spoilers in here. First thing, well, I said they be acting, man. The son, Spencer, man. This little nigga has a moment in, I want to say in episode 8 or 9, where they find out this little nigga been vaping, and they confront him about it, and it's his whole reaction. Dog, if anybody remember how Lil Scrappy be acting on Love & Hip Hop when he found out some shit that he didn't know, and he thought it was a secret, or some shit that he was trying not to motherfucker let the cat out of the bag and some of that did before he do. That look on his face, he had one of them. Oh, man. And then their daughter, man, she came through with the real MVP about how she did some shit. They gave her a little, you know, a little heartfelt moment, you know, just to try to put her in. I'm like, man, they trying to nudge the kids' storylines in, but I'm like, it's like a little B plot. And they don't do a real good job of the B plot. So, like, man, listen. You can wrap this B plot up in like 2-3 episodes. Now, again, I'm not expert in how to write stuff, but it serves as a bit of a distraction when you kind of like sprinkle it through the season. Like, hey, you got ten episodes, right? We want to tell us about how this little girl feeling about, you know, basically being what's her name? Judy? you want to tell a story about how she feels about being Judy in this family? Like, man, give it to us in the middle 3 episodes, dog. You know what I'm saying? And then you can kind of like patch it up. But to throw that in right at the end, when we trying to find out what the fuck going on? Come on, son. And then the whole thing, because see, the first season, the actual killer was present in our mind the entire time, and they kind of like kept hooking us in to be like, did he do it? Did he do it? And they kept introducing all these other people who were possible candidates to make you be like, nah, he ain't do it, dog. This motherfucker got a good reason to get away with it. This time, they kept hanging out all these other possible people of who it could be, and then we find out who it actually was. And why this person has been just riding the undercurrent the entire time. I was just like, but dog, we ain't talking nothing about this person though, right? Like, we've seen them in the show making little appearances. I mean, we introduced Candy Burris in this motherfucker. She plays a character. We introduced Candy Burris in this motherfucker for like a heartbeat. And then you think about what Candy Burris plays in this whole story. Now that I think about that, like, goddamn. Unless y'all gonna bring this back in season 3, man, why? Why we do this? And then, like, it's a risk, too. It's a risk because, like, oh, y'all come back in season 3? I know y'all anticipate coming back for season 3. But then give us something to want to come back to season 3 to look forward to. Because the way they laid this thing, lay this shit out to what they're gonna go for season 3, man. I'm not ready to deal with this. I know they look like they maybe trying to switch gears, like, look, we can't be sitting doing a murder every goddamn season and make this the crux of it. But this show's called Reasonable Doubt. It's just, you know, that's the phrasing in how do you determine whether somebody's guilty in the case of murder or a crime against the state. I ain't gonna say murder all the time. This is a crime against the state, and it looks like we're about to go into a civil discussion. That ain't the same in civil discussion. Civil discussions ain't reasonable doubt. Civil discussion is you can still be considered a percentage of responsible in that thing. Right? So come on. Come on. I mean, now I don't know. I can't do two trials at the same time. That'd just be fucking ridiculous to do two trials at the same time. Like, give us motherfucking something nice and juicy and hanging out there, let it go. I mean, like I said, I do like the show. I just feel like they're taking a risk with what they're about to go with this. And unless it's something, you know, deep down, y'all not the Wire, man. And even the Wire was on motherfucking shaky ground when they were out. I mean, we love the Wire, but fact remains that even when it was on air, it still was motherfucking on shaky ground because they didn't know season to season if they were coming back. And being a Hulu series, you definitely don't know if they're coming back. And they have a reason to get rid of it, but hey. It looks like I got all of them top rated. Oh, shit. You know what? Now look at it. They should be coming back. Like every episode has at least 8 stars. Okay. So far, past the episode was Venus versus Mars. Got 9 out of 10 stars. Now granted, this might be in a vacuum. Well, only certain people, only people that are rating the people that just watch this shit, and you ain't getting a lot of people who don't like it. I'm gonna just go back and see. You're getting a lot of. You know what? I think I'm gonna say this for that last part. Bringing Michael Ealy back too also was a part where I was just like, I don't understand why we had to go here. Like. I do get that y'all want to say that she has some type of feelings for this man. I really do. This nigga kidnapped and tried to kill her in the first season. So, like, I don't know, man. Y'all really, they really making Jax out to be this real, like, piece of shit type of character. I'm not saying that she is above reproach, but I'm just like, dog. You got caught by your husband with this nigga when you knew and everybody told you all along this was a bad motherfucking look to be fucking around with this dude to the point that this nigga kidnapped you I told you so type shit situation and tried to kill you, killed himself, fucked you up, damn near fucked up your marriage. Your husband made your husband do some damn crazy ass emotional shit. Well, he like to fucked up the marriage. And now here we are. You still motherfucking having to have this goddamn closures damn shit about this nigga. And I'm like, what? So I'm looking at her having this whole closure type shit with this nigga like, damn, the same one looking like, really, Lewis, you really just went over and ran to the little chick that just all in your face smiling that knows your wife? You ran to her and knocked her down? Come on, dog. Really? 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 I mean, is that how it always works? Is that how it works? I mean, I don't know. The only one to be in your face, motherfucker, trying to throw your little piece of them cheeks is the one that's right there. I mean, I've seen a lot of niggas caught cheating with some random bras. I seen women get caught cheating with random niggas. Like, come on, dog. That can't be the trope. You go fuck with the chick right there. Come on. We got to do better than that. But them kids, they do be acting. All right, let's see. And also, I put this another segment in here called, man, what did they just say? So, I know, in our adult age, of course, we like to put on our rose-colored glasses about the past and everything. Some of us, and this one I'm talking about, is beyond our time because this is before us. This is from 1982. So I was a little kid. But it's Confunctions of Love Train. Nigga, this damn song, I was listening to the radio, man. And I know everybody like love that little, just that little, the flow of that song and the way that beat goes and it just rolls and people have redone it and everything and whatever. But the title of this song is so contradictory to what the fuck we talking about. This ain't no fucking love train, nigga. And if it is a train, that motherfucking brakes been cut. So this nigga talking, we start out, this nigga's talking about it's a warm night and he can't sleep. He too hurt, he too weak. He wanna call her up. And this is the part of the reason made me want to do this, because I keep remember said you dial that number, no one answers until it's 2 o'clock. And I was like, nigga, is it 2 o'clock in the morning? And then I thought about it, he said warm night. So it gotta be 2 o'clock in the morning before she finally answers the phone. Nigga, let me tell you something. If you've been calling somebody all night and they don't answer the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm gonna tell you what it ain't. It ain't love. I'll say that already. Unless this nigga working the night shift and they don't get out to 1:30. This ain't no love. And then when she finally answers the phone, he says, and if by chance you let me come over out on the street, I want to see you, baby. Yeah. So she finally answers the phone. He's like, hey, look, I'm going to come over. I'm going to stand outside. I just want to see you and see you from the outside. And if you let me come in, I just want to hold you down on my knees. I want to please you, baby. I'll be your righteous lover. Dog, think about this. Think about this. You've been calling a woman all night. 2 o'clock in the morning, she finally answers. And this is your response? I don't know what to tell you. You might need to sit there. Just saying. She answers at 2 o'clock. And then you're like, hey, I just want to come over. I just want to see you. You can come in, man. I'm going to hold you. All right. Her response is, I want to see you too. It's just somebody else is over here. But I really want to be with you. Wait a minute. So let me tell you something real quick. If she didn't answer the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, she'd get them cheeks clapped by Gucci Third Leg. And that nigga sleep right now. So nah, you can't come over right now. He's still here. Oh man. Get back to that chorus that says, if you are that special lover and love keeps you tied to another, that's the way it goes on the love train. So yeah, man, I'm sprung on her. She got another nigga over there. That's just the way it goes on that love train, man. Oh man. Let's see. I said third verse kicks off, and on a warm night, lady wants her baby, so she calls him up, dials that number, no one answers to it. 2 o'clock. All right, so we flip the roll now. Verse three, there's a lady calling a nigga. Let me tell you something real quick. Ain't no woman that you want to talk to is going to keep calling you and wait till you answer 2 o'clock and she's still happy about it. Let me tell you something, believe that bitch alone. That's a crazy woman right there, man. This motherfucker is okay. Let me see, baby. Oh, and just go back to the chorus. You're talking about if your heart tied to another. That's what goes on love train. And this is you don't need no ticket to ride. So these niggas said, who wrote this motherfucking song? I gotta go find out who wrote this. About unfortunate decision to love someone, and about someone loving someone who is with someone. I want them to make the song. Let's see. Oh, we got some quotes in here. All right, so interview by Tony Wade for the Bay Area Reporter and the Daily Republic. Co-writer Michael Cooper revealed how the song was written within the context of two band members chasing the same nigga. So not only are you calling this woman and there's somebody over there clapping them cheeks till the 2 o'clock. It's your bandmate.
God damn it. Oh, shit. I dropped a headphone. Come on, y'all. I'm coming. Come on, Elizabeth. I'm coming. I gotta get my headphone out of here. Oh, shit.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. I'm back, y'all. I'm sorry. My headphone fell out my ear there. Oh, that's crazy. A tall, pretty young lady came in the studio in San Francisco and Felton probably moved on her quickly. About a month into their relationship, she slides up to me and said she really wanted me. One thing led to another, and she was juggling me and Felton, but I don't know that. Oh, I thought she dumped him. She stayed in the apartment and had to buzz you in. One night I went there. She was with Felton. I said the corniest thing a brother could say. If by chance you let me come up, we could talk about this. I don't know where the words came from. So, this song, this motherfuckers have been remaking, is this motherfucking straight up simp shit. Hey, man, this is crazy. This is crazy. This song peaked at number 9 in May of 1983. Oh, my God. Hey, man. Is this woman still alive? Somebody define her. Like, do you know? You was out here. Hey, listen, lady. I'm trying to say. You was out here get smacked by both of the niggas in Income Function. And they made a song about you? Oh man. I brought up this. This is what I call the boosted badass segment of ignorance. I mentioned this name just then, and if you don't know what I'm referring to, a male OnlyFans star is accused of giving herpes to multiple women. Danae Davis says she was only 19 at the time that her collaboration with Gucci Third Leg and never disclosed he had a sexually transmitted disease. She also claimed that he knew about his diagnosis and purposely kept a secret from her and other females on social media collaboration. Being a Gucci Third Leg has collaborated with some of the biggest porn stars, OnlyFans stars, and amateur content creators is what we're going to insert right here, in the world, on social media, on the internet. Davis claims that he has exposed dozens of women to disease. Stevens, Ayes, Ross, and Deshae Foster have slept with some of the women and that Goose Third Leg collaborated with, which is now has interested buzz. None of that. I ain't got to go on that. Man, it's just motherfucking Mr. Marcus all over again. Now, here's the difference between Mr. Marcus and Gucci Third. And I do understand this because now people want to come out and want to be these experts on this. Like, these male performers need these women and they don't do this. Blah, 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 blah. Stop all that. The women we're talking about, the OG industry, and you're working for these studios, number one, I don't know how Mr. Marcus did what he did. Other than the fact that the industry wasn't as regulated then as it probably is now. I can't say that. I mean, it's still sex work is still kind of like a taboo topic there, but I think they're a little bit more accepted in the mainstream culture, especially with OnlyFans around now where motherfuckers, the porn star can parlay their, you know, their stardom into some own their own little money making schemes. Kind of like shit, fucking sex workers. I'm in the goddamn SoundCloud era. But with that being said, if you have the ability to make this streaming income without working with nobody else, then you Jay the Fire. You know what I'm saying? You can, I'm like, even Miss B Nasty has collaborated with other niggas, even though she do a lot of work on her own. She still collaborated with niggas. I mean, you're going to cater to the market that's out there. But with all that being said, we know what the scarlet letter is with sex work. That's the big one is you can transmit diseases by having multiple partners. So the big way to combat that is to continuously get tested, verify that motherfucker tests accurate, verify that these motherfuckers are protecting you, and you and by proxy, you protecting yourself and doing all this. We know this. And I'm not blaming the victims in this situation. I'm really not. I'm really not doing this. I'm saying, though, when you allow for a motherfucker to run roughshod through an industry unchecked like this, that just breeds a level of irresponsibility in this motherfucker. And then we're just going to absolve all these people of their culpability in this situation to say that this one person is a fucking deviant, which he is. But until you present evidence that this nigga was forcing motherfuckers to do this shit on some motherfucking Harvey Weinstein, P. Diddy, fucking Bill Cosby type shit, dog, you're just as immediately as culpable. This isn't a nigga drugging you and then fucking you with a diseased dick. This was some, he came through, presented the opportunity to collab with you, then go follow through on all the motherfuckers. And he can be manipulative. That's the thing about it. He can be manipulative about it and just kind of like skirt around it. But at the end of the day, man, in this era of everybody wanting to be motherfucking the hero in their story where they do all the brave shit and they draw these lines in the sand and we got these deal breakers that we just don't go past in this motherfucker, in this era, motherfucker. Oh, well, this one time I didn't have a deal breaker in this motherfucker. And this motherfucker took advantage of me. I'm like, no, we're not doing that right now. Like, you knew this. Now, especially when you consider the fact that a lot of, especially these male performers, these niggas be out here fucking regular chicks on the side. So, you knew this. But you decided to motherfucker continuously work with motherfuckers that, you know, one, you may not have, I mean, you don't know this nigga. That's different. That's the other thing about sex work. You don't know these motherfuckers. Some people do. Some people kind of work together and eventually kind of, you know, develop some type of working relationship with each other. But I have, because I do research on this. I've seen multiple times where sometimes some of these performers, they walk on set. They don't know who the fuck they working with till you on set. You know what I'm saying? But before they work, they already know all of the legalities are actual factual. You know what I'm saying? We ain't just walking in here just fucking, oh, who are fucking today? A fucking Lex Steel? Okay. No, I'm fucking Kieran Noir? Okay. No, we're not doing that. You know who the fuck you're going to be working with. And before you start working with them, you know that everything's on the up and up. You ain't going to just walk up in there and just do whatever with whomever without motherfucker checking some shit. Oh, shit, I just lit myself on fire. So, us acting like that's not motherfucking the policy or the procedure or the way that things work and just skipping all over that to be like, you know, yeah, man, he infected all these women. And then he said he's claimed to have slept with over 3,000 women in his lifetime. And somebody posted a list of some of the people you work with. And some of them are motherfucking performers, but it was quite telling. Yeah, why is Sexy Red name on this list? Of course. I got this. I saw that shit. I was like, wait a minute, that's Sexy Red? And then they all go put Then they gonna put all their motherfucking social media handles on there for just about everybody they had on the list. Oh, like damn niggas, man. Number one, has this list been verified? This is a list of 50 women that Gucci Third Leg has shot with, slept with, or created content with over the year while allegedly being positive with her with the hurt. And there are way more. If you wanted me to drop a list with 50 more names, get me to 1 million retweets. Yeah, I'm not even gonna go over this list first off because it's for clickbait. It's for clickbait. We get 6 red names on that list though. That's just funny. Like, where you get these names from? Where you get these names from? And it's like he's going through and basically destroying the industry. Is it? Because it sounds like you got, if this list is true, this sounds like you got 50 plus people that just basically just shirking responsibility of what the fuck they're supposed to be doing in this industry. Unless they just having casual sex with him. But if they shooting with him, like, yeah, y'all niggas ain't motherfucking doing what the fuck y'all supposed to be doing. And then on the back end of it, on the back end of this motherfucker, But on the back end of this thing too is why is it that I go on my porn tubes and just about every one I go to, he in the top, you know. He above the threshold. What is it? The fold. He's above the fold, so to speak. He got at least 2 scenes above the fold as far as the most popular ones. And I'm just like, so it seems like y'all going out trying to watch this nigga work too. At the same time, y'all want to, and they ain't saying that his compatriots are watching him. Somebody watching him. Mm-hmm. Goddamn Gucci Third Leg, that nigga. Still making good time. It's still an hour yet. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Next segment. I guess I could put that, I could also follow that. Nah, I'm not going to follow that. But yeah. Last segment in here that I'm gonna get to. Well, next, last 2 segments. This is you don't say. Kayla Nicole, ex of Travis Kelce, and shit, I don't keep up with these people. I just realized she's Iman Shumpert's ex too. Went on to Angel Reese's podcast to talk about some stuff. You know, of course, it's Angel Reese. What the fuck is she? Season over with, she's trying to keep her name hot. She's just gonna go in there and just have her basically own Club Shay Shay, let people roast sessions. And listen, man, I'm not changing from nobody. I'm just sitting here saying, I don't know what the fuck went on in Kayla Nicole's life. I do know that she do get some I will say this: the two of them on this show together is telling. Because they're both the poster children of some unwelcome backlash of some side people in discussions that just be throwing their names up. Both are the antithesis to what some people want America to be like on the other hand. And the other hand being Taylor Swift and Caitlin Clark. An antithesis to both of them, Kayla Nicole and Angel Reese. So, I mean, unless motherfucking, you know, Caitlin Clark gets a podcast and invites Taylor Swift on and the world blows up. Oh my God. They did that together, man. I swear. Just sign me out, this motherfucking dog. But either way, she says a lot of stuff on this show. Now I'm not going to get into all the details of this because this you don't say segment ain't about what she actually said. It's more about what people are taking from it. She talked about her relationship with Travis and the breakup, and there's clips of her talking about, you know, some of the things that she felt like were the end of the relationship. And all, like I said, this is again what you don't say is the people that be checking off like, yeah, girl, I be looking at y'all, be like, y'all are the least compromising people on the face of this earth. And I ain't just saying that it's women, because there's niggas that be out there be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all, listen. I've realized one another really recently in my life. The one another nemesis of mine is people who don't compromise. Like, I'm not a stubborn person. I do like to give like concessions. It's just so that I can get something out of the deal, you know, that makes me happy, so the other person can be happy. At the same time, you know, like, this is what I want to do, that's what you want to do. It's kind of like work in between so that you can get what you want to get. I can still get what I need to get, and I can still be happy. But what I learned is there are some motherfucking people out here that just do not move. They're unrelenting. And you hear them on social media a lot. They talk about a lot of shit. They got that balloon popping shit is a big you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah, she says a lot of shit to make you be like, oh, for real? Huh. Well, good for you. Good for you. Beautiful people, good for you. I'm going to go on over here and mind my business. Because, like I said, some of y'all are some of the most unrelenting people in the world. And then the whole reveal about her dressing like Tiana Trump for Halloween. I'm not Tiana Trump. Tiana Taylor. She dressed like Tiana Taylor. Tiana Trump would have been good. She's just like Tiana Trump for Halloween. But Tiana Taylor, her dress like Tiana Taylor, man, for Halloween, to kind of be as a low-key shot? Y'all are unwell. Because a lot of people just glance over there and be like, she said it. All right, let's talk about this other stuff that she talked about. I'm like, no. Come on, y'all. Come on. We can't just speed past it, dog. So some nigga she's a date left her for a famous celebrity, and she decided to cosplay as said celebrity for Halloween. And y'all just cool with that? That's what we gonna do? Can you imagine? Could you fucking imagine? Really? Who's the people that are famous? I don't fucking know. It was rumored that Janet Jackson and Bobby Brown dated. Like, wouldn't it be weird if Janet cosplayed at Whitney Houston at some point in time? Wouldn't it be weird? If we knew that, like, if she came out like, yeah, I dressed as Whitney Houston, you know, I found out he was with her, and, you know, I couldn't be with him, so I dressed as Whitney Houston 1 year for Halloween, just, you know, as Whitney Houston and fucking the bodyguard or some weird shit. Like, we're just going to look at them and be like, oh, Jenny girl, you so funny. No, like, are you okay? I think you're not okay. Oh, man. Yeah, left with Tiana Taylor and then Taylor Swift. Maybe you just don't like people named Taylor. I don't know. Again, some of y'all people are just, some of y'all are just unwell. Unwell. Y'all funny, but y'all unwell. Let's see. And the last segment I got, well, the last entertainment segment or news segment I got is live in the comments. Snoop went on the Today Show and did a news forecast and basically talked about the weather and the temperature and all these weed associated names like Roach, Blaze, High Point, Blunt, Mary Jane, things of that sort. You know, got on there, just did his whole thing. Him and Al Roker, they just yucking it up. And for the most part, everybody took it in stride. But of course, live in the comments, you got motherfucker that's got to be saying, totally tackling. Not everybody needs a weed forecast. Shaking my head. Hey man, so there's some things I do leave comments in. there's some posts like, look, anything they got to do with something that's going viral, then you know you're just throwing your hat in the ring. You just going out there. Bro, go sit down somewhere trying to do too much and spell two T-O. Snoopy everywhere, shut up. Oh,
over 60 ever thought they'd see the day. Shit, fuck off. First off, I don't know how you present that because I'm pretty sure anybody over 60 probably remember the days when we wasn't as frowned upon or as big of a deal as it is now, because a lot of y'all are the reason why I'm trying to come back. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Who else? Another city hop over. Like, did we get mentioned by Snoop? Oh man. Someone says, I love how marijuana uses itself enough to that the Today Show had a weed thing segment. Snoop and Afro. Oh, and actually, they actually said nothing fun. Oh, brother, buddy. Pottsville, Blunt, High Points. Yeah, that's all pretty good. Hey, man. Again, shout out to Snoop. Shout out to the people that took that and enjoyed it. And Al Roker, again, living it up. Let's see. Last part for me. So just as I said, I'm trying to at the top, once I'm trying to Travis Kelce my way into Dina Asher Smith mentions or comments or maybe even a picture. I'm gonna do the same on the back end of the show. And her name is I'm gonna have to see ya. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wrestle on with AEW. Mm-hmm. She had a match with Mercedes this week. Don't matter how the match turned out. Yep. Still trying to motherfucking Travis Kelce my way into a mention, a comment, or even a shout out. Either way. Because, she fire. She is fire. Mm-hmm. She been out there doing the work, man, putting people over. And I ain't mad. I'm not mad at all. But shout out to her. And y'all should go follow. She the real queen. Aminata. All right. Let's see. I guess I'll follow that up with the top 10 rankings from D Tasty and Blacks. All right. I got the question last week about dogging. Yes, dogging should be considered rough sex, but they also have a category here called rough sex, and that really will end up being dogging is, again, like I said last week, bunch of dog style porn. I understand the confusion there. I don't make the rules. I'm just putting it up the way they drop it off over here. You know, I don't know. They algorithm might be fucked up. Let's see. Top 10. Number 10 is lesbian porn. Followed up at number 9 by gay porn. So, you know, both of those are gay, but one is women, the other one is men. There you go. Number 8 is blowjobs, which could classify for the last two segments because there you go. Cream pie coming in at number 7. Number 6 is 10, 9, 8. Sorry, number 6 is threesomes. Treeway. Number 5 is mature. Number 4, BBW. Number 3 is amateur. Number 2 is Mark Robinson porn. And number 1 is big ass. There you go. Shout out to y'all. Mark Robinson still in the top 3. Top 2. There you go. It ain't number 1, but it is number 2. That is the Taste of Blacks rankings. And that is me getting up out of here. It is about, I got in here a little under an hour, so I think that made good time. So with that being said, man, I appreciate y'all for listening. Shout this show out. Share it with your folks. Man, we better get on this thing. I'm about to go to work and make something out of this day. I gotta go drop my son's shoes off at school. He's been texting me like crazy for some weird reason. But with that all being said, man, I appreciate y'all for listening. I am your host, your pilot on this love train, this wrecking train. Don't be calling nobody at 2 o'clock in the morning, especially if your homeboy over there clapping cheeks. You definitely don't want to go over there and get your third leg. It's about to come out there. Till next time, I'm out, y'all. Peace.
Deuce, motherfucker.
This has been a Dr. Abrasive presentation.